Today's message is another topical. I'm working two or three of those in, and that means we'll have subject matter where we go from kind of one set of scriptures to another to get to make our point. And it's just working out that way, and I'm hitting these now, then we'll go back and do more exegetical work and go through passages and define them and research them. But today, because of what we're seeing, I suppose that's what it is. I think that's what it is. God just kind of is just led, and I kept looking at what different messages. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to write this time and bring? And it just like the problem is, and I just was burdened by it enough to go this route. And it's like, you know, I was asked this week, by the way, how does God give you messages? Yeah, and so let me speak to that because he does it different ways. God, and when I say God speaks to me, I don't hear an audible voice. I sense a voice. I sense a leading. And I start going in that direction. And so for you, it could be something else. You may actually hear something in your mind, in your heart. But I'm saying this to say, maybe some of you wanted to know, or how do you get these messages? That I ask God every Sunday afternoon when I get home, Sunday evening, what do you want next? Because it's a never-ending job. It's never finished. It's never completion. I've asked the Lord once, could you not gifted me to build a house? I'd just like to be able to see a finished product. But when you pastor, you never see anything as a finished product. It never ends. And sometimes it's frustrating. But get back to and so I'll ask God on Sunday, and usually by Monday or Tuesday, something is starting to come. And there's little things in my Bible study of a morning or this or that that starts leading in a direction. It's kind of like a wave rolling in one direction. And so I'll just begin to go with that. And as I begin to get where he wants me to be, reading particular passages or just thinking, oh, wait a minute, it's this, it's that. That wave gets more strong and more strong, that's how God speaks to me. And if I move away from it, there's a lack of peace instantly. I only get the peace with God on these messages when I'm right there where he wants me to be. That's how it works with me. You can start out there so that you know his leading. You'll have peace with his leading, by the way. And if he's not leading, you'll think you may have calmness, but you won't have peace, and there'll be some, you know, pulling and tugging back and forth. And I've in my life in younger days, I didn't quite get it because I was trained to do it a certain way in the seminary days and all that, and so that's why I did it, not realizing that that's not exactly the way God wanted it done. So that's the way it works. And in this particular one, I just titled it, you're chose to be different, and you're chosen to be different. And we're going to look at why that is. And we have five things here. I've never been a 3 points in a poem guy, but that's what they teach you to do. I'll give whatever God gives me to give. It may be 2 points, 1 point, or 3, 4, 5 points. But these are shorter points. In this particular message, God's word is, you are chosen to be different, every single one of us. I should say we. We're chosen to be different. And listen to this. The sooner you accept that you're chosen to be different, the sooner you're going to find peace and real life in Christ. You're going to have that peace and purpose that you've been searching for when you realize that God chose you to be different. That's all there is to it. You can't be like everybody else. And I know that oftentimes we'll find ourselves in a position where we feel like, well, I've got to go along with this, and this is family, or these are friends, and I need to laugh at the certain jokes, and I got to go along with whatever's going on. But when God calls you to be different, and you've probably done this, you've done it, you've gone along with it, but inside your heart, you weren't at peace, were you? There was just a kind of a sick feeling because you knew you were not being different. Listen, being different. Not we're different, but God's different. Set apart. What does that make you? makes you, well, I'll read this passage in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. It makes you special. Let me just read this passage and let it soak in. There are going to be several passages. The first one, this is New King James I'm using, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look at this, his own special people. You can no more be like somebody else out here. You can't be like the world. You can't accept its customs or traditions. You have to go with the way that God, through his Holy Spirit, is leading you to go. Through his word. You have to do what he says to do, or you're going to be a miserable human being. Because when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, when you really confess your sins before him and to him, and you ask forgiveness and repent of your sins, Jesus Christ comes into your heart, and what happens? He gives you his Holy Spirit, and then he begins to fill you with his presence as you yield yourself to him. You receive that filling of the Holy Spirit, and then spiritual fruits born through that in Galatians 5. But here he says, and he says, I'm doing this because I chose you. Your royal priesthood, your holy nation. What does that mean? He said, you represent me on this earth. Everything that I was on this earth, that's what I want you to be. You say, I can't do that. You can't on your own. You cannot do it on your own, but you can through Jesus Christ living in you. He can do it. He said, you're his own special people that you may proclaim. He said, what do we do? We proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, once you were not a people, now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have, it says, have now obtained mercy. Now, let me say this to you. People don't always like someone special. And this is the reason so many Christians compromise. Because to be special and to be chosen means you're separate. And you have to, you think different, you worship different, you act different, and not everybody's going to like it. Your own family won't like it. It doesn't mean you're sitting there preaching at them. You're not beating them over the head with the Bible, so to say. But you're different. You're saying, no, I'm not going to drink that. Well, we're going to go out tonight. I'll pass on that. What? What? Aren't you a part of us? Don't you want to be part of the family? Aren't we still friends? Yes, we are. I love you all. But go have fun. I got other things to do. There's ways to do that. And they're not going to like it. But if you go and compromise, friends, listen. What does that say to God? What does that say to people? Let me tell you something. The people that will push you the most to go with them and do what they want you to do are the very ones who will still respect your stand in Christ. They may run you down. They may even persecute you, but they do respect you for it. And they disrespect you when you compromise, because then you've shown them everything you say you are in Christ is not real. Everybody with me? But when you want to be special, when you finally yield to this and say, I'm a chosen person, I'm a special person, chosen of God, I'm a royal priesthood, special people, I can't be like the rest of the world. No, when that happens, everybody's not going to like it. And you're going to have to reach a point in your life, if you haven't already, where you have to really be able to say, I don't care. All I care about is that he cares about me, and I care about praising him, because that's what we're here to do. Isn't that what it says? That we're to praise him, and we're to show forth his praises. Let's read that again real quick. He called you out of darkness, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. That's what we're here to do. And we're here, friends, and when it comes down to the bottom line and you cut through all the stuff, we're here to do that as special people who do proclaim the praises of God, Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we can't compromise that. The things we saw in Paris result directly from Christian compromise. How can we throw a huge fit as Christians when we sit here in our own country and say, yeah, take God out of everything in our society, take him out of the law, take him out of the classrooms, take him out of everything, and we sit there and let it happen, and then we see this kind of thing somewhere else and go, oh, God, how horrible. And God's saying, yes, how horrible. This is what results from my people compromising at home, then you see it abroad. Now, I'm not here to beat up Christians this morning. It's simply to say there was a time people wouldn't have had the audacity. And I'll tell you something else. There was a time when a whole bunch of athletes would have stood their ground and said, we're not participating in the Olympics if you do that. We used to have a generation of people who would stand up to something like that and say, we are not. We'll withdraw from the Olympics right now. But they didn't. They didn't have that character, that quality. You know why? Because even as athletes, so many of them have been given too much. Too pampered. And I want my gold medal more than my God. If that sounds harsh, I don't mean it to be, but so be it. There was a time when there would have been a refusal to participate until that kind of thing is removed. Just think about it. That's how far we've gone. And so God's calling us back, and he's saying, I want you to realize you're my special people, and you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to act different. You're going to have to talk to your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids different. Not mean, not harsh, but different. You're going to have to, they need to see us taking our stand and having done everything, as the Scripture says in Ephesians, put on the full armor of God and having done everything to stand. Listen, Jesus brought you out of the darkness, so stay out of it. You don't have to raise a hand or anything, but how many of you on occasion piddle around with darkness again? Just think about it. How many of you just start leaning back in because you're around certain people, they're doing certain things, or you, whatever it is, and you just start leaning back towards that darkness? We all have. We all have from time to time, and you've got to stay out of it. We're here to proclaim, to be God's people, and we're here to live in his mercy. Secondly, we're chosen for good works. You know, that's something that's starting to be, it's a missed principle. So many denominations, so many Christian groups that talk about grace, they don't talk about the works that must follow grace. Works that must follow faith. We got, you know, and we became so afraid that, you know, and let's put it this way. When I was the other denomination I was in before, I mean, they preach grace, salvation by grace, salvation by grace. You know what they forgot? They were so works-phobic because of churches who overemphasized works over grace. There's a balance. You have faith through grace, right? You believe in Jesus Christ. You have faith. He gives you his grace. He forgives you. He redeems you. He brings you out of darkness. But then I'm to go to work. James said, faith without works is what? Does everybody know the end of that? Dead. Deader, he didn't say this, but if I was writing it, I said, deader than a hammer. Dead. You're created. We are created, chosen for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do. And we've forgotten the works. You hear these pretty boys on TV and they're all talking feel good and oh, he loves you and all this and all that God wants to give you. I'll probably pass out and have to go to the hospital. They'd have to haul me off if I ever heard one of them say, and to get all this, you're going to have to get out there and be a disciple and get with it and take some hits. But they never say that. They never say that the real side of Christianity is not fun and games. It's not feeling good. It's getting out there and fighting the devil. And once in a while, you're going to get knocked down and you get back up. I wish I could stand here this morning and say, man, you just ask Jesus in your heart. Oh, and Santa Claus God comes along in his sleigh and just dumps out blessings. No, you ask Jesus in your heart and the angels rejoice and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and it starts off good and then you find that old narrow path has winds and turns and dips and ups and there's opposition on all sides of it. You want to be a Christian? There's no more valiant thing and no more courageous walk you'll ever walk than to be a real, true, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Because that old road out there, and we've talked about this in the past, and where we ever got straight in there, straight and narrow path, we hear people quote that all the time. And as you know, I've shared in here, that came from a Latin word, strictum, that was inserted into Scripture. It just says it's a narrow path, and it's a hard path to find. It's a hard gate to go through, and it's a narrow, and I'll guarantee you, the experience of life will teach you far from straight. It does lead right on, but and on each, every side of that road, there's opposition. And the enemy, that's why he had to put on the full armor of God, and the enemy slinging his fiery darts, trying to sting you and make you fall off the path. Has everybody experienced that? That's what we need to teach people. That's the truth of Christianity. But if you just keep walking one step at a time with the light that He gives you, the enemy can never conquer you. He can never steal you, and he can't run on the path and jerk you off. He can only say, come over here. This is an easier way. This is an easy believism. Come over here. Oh, why don't you go worship over here at this church and over at this place? Because we have lots of good, fun things. And it's just, and Santa Claus God comes by when least expected and dumps out blessings in our church. I know you're probably thinking, boy, Pastor's cranky in his message today. Well, that's what happens when you get allergy attacks in the middle of the night. You know what these good works are? It's to love other people. It's to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's to help people. And it's to lead them to Christ. Set an example, something that will entice them, and we'll get to that in a moment, and teach them about Jesus. That's what Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've commanded you. And lo, he said, hey, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So let's look at this third point. What else are you chosen for? What we use for the title, you're chosen to make a difference. Jesus said in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask Father in my Jesus' name, he may give you. Let me say this to you. I mean, everybody needs to hear it. Mentioned it way back in the past, so I'll say it again. And we all need to hear this. When Jesus Christ tapped you on your heart, he knocked on the door of your heart and said, let me come in. And you opened the door to him. God sent him. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless what? The Father sends him. You didn't know it, but God was moving you to him. And you asked him into your heart and you repented. You receive forgiveness. At that moment, what you need to realize is Jesus came into the heart of a person that he knew when you were created, you were going to be a sinner. And he knew every unfaithful, sinful thing you'd ever do. And yet he knocks on your heart and comes in anyway. Quit telling God, stop it, that I'm not qualified. God, I've got this in my past. I've got that in my past. I have this habit that comes up every so often and I give into it. God, when I get mad, I just cuss a blue streak. That's what we used to say. You know? I throw things. I say words that I repent of for days and days and days afterwards. And whatever it is, friend, whatever your deal is, don't you think he knew when he knocked on your heart? He knew what you were going to do. You think you do anything that surprises him? Got to be kidding. I'm just reading it the other night, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, when God put you together, he said, I'm putting together a sinful person. They'll be born in sin. Oh, Adam and Eve blew it out there, passed it along. And I know every sin you'll ever commit, every drink you'll ever take, every bit of drugs you'll ever use. I know every pornographic movie you'll ever watch. I know every cuss word you'll ever speak. I know every temper fit you'll have. But I love you, so I'm knocking. And your greatest challenge will be this, to let me overcome that and do good works through your life and make a difference. How about them apples? So why are you resisting? Why don't you sit back and let God do what God does? And say, use me, Lord. You know what you're here to do to make a difference? You know what people, Christians that make a difference do? They're life changers. Everywhere they go, lives change because of them. It may not be on a grandiose scale, but in some small, even minute way, people are different because you're there. That's what God ordains it to be. That's what we're supposed to be. We're game changers. We're life changers. We're transformers. We're an example to others. You ever thought about it? You're the game changer. You're the life changer. Your life is special. God, I don't know how to get it across. I don't have the emotion today I like to have, or the feeling. I just can't get there quite. But just try to get it. God called you to be a life changer and a game changer for people, a transformer. You know what holds Christians back from being this kind of person, these kind of people? I just wrote this in my little side column because God just spoke to my heart. It's like, why do I not do this sometimes? Why do we all mess up? And you know, you ask God, he'll tell you if you listen. It's like, what holds us back then? And here it came. You ready for this? What keeps us from being all this that we're hearing today is we fear that our own sins, our own weaknesses will be seen by others and disqualify us. And I thought, yeah, that's right. That's the plague of every pastor I've ever known that was sincere about their calling. They're so worried that they're about their humanity that they can actually become robots. They get become indifferent, don't let themselves feel anymore, trying to be perfect. We're afraid that people will see us for what we are and they'll disqualify us. You know that's the problem? The church, universal, has pretended so long that it doesn't have sin. And the church pastors have pretended so long that they don't have sin, that we've become totally unbelievable and pushed people away. If you walked in off the street into a church and everybody there acted perfect, dressed perfect, and the pastor hid himself behind this massive podium up here and pulpit, and everything he said was little illustrations pulled from a book or something, but nothing about himself, no realism, nothing realistic, would you be comfortable there? That's why this church was put here. for people to come in and we all can identify with each other because we're all sinners saved by grace. That's all we are and that's all we'll ever be on this earth. But we're still chosen to be that. We're still special in that. And quit worrying and quit pretending. We pretended too long that we're above real life. I mean, haven't you been to places in your life and it's like the pastor's just above real life? Sin doesn't touch him. He walks about, the waters part when he walks up to the creek. Are you kidding me? Well, read your paper. Well, papers. You see all this stuff that's been happening up in North Texas? You say, what's been happening if you haven't seen it? It's been several ministers, pastors up there, associate pastors, senior pastors falling left and right. One of them had churches all over the area. Am I condemning that? Oh, God, no. You know what part of this comes from? Pretending that you're not human and trying to make people think that, you've got it together. The best favor a pastor will ever do for his people, God help us, is to say, I'm real, I'm human, I'm subject to temptation. People, please pray for me. And if a pastor won't do it, he's going to end up like that. Because think about it. If the devil can get the guy up here to fall, he just like a domino effect and affects so many people. And you need to pray, God, don't let Pastor Tony fall. Amen. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tempt him. Don't let the devil get it. Even for a moment. I just keep seeing this stuff. It's like, what's it going on in North Texas? No, it's not going on in North Texas. It goes on everywhere. And the media just has a heyday over it. And it's like, guys, if you'd been honest all along, if you'd have been open with your own lives, if you weren't pretending all the time that you're something you're not, don't be above real life. That's why I share my things with you. I get in trouble for it at times. I say in trouble, people that not here that see it and watch it, what they rebuke me. Tony, you shouldn't be sharing things about yourself up there. Yeah, that's what they taught me in seminary, and look where it gets you. How can people identify with the realism of Scripture unless they see that the man bringing it is just as real as they are? Well, we got to close. You're chosen to be the salt. Jesus, a short little verse, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. Ah, you hear so many messages on this. You say, what does salt do, right? I don't know about you. I know we're told not to use too much salt. The first thing I look for when I sit down, where's the salt? You do that too? Any of them? It doesn't make a difference what it is. Peaches. Watermelon. I salt peaches. I salt watermelon. I salt okra. Salt squash. I salt my steaks. Salt potatoes. I mean, really. I just, once in a while, I don't know why, I just want to go buy like Whataburger and get, when I'm hot and I'm tired, I just want a big thing of those. If I hadn't had any in a while, I just want a big thing of fries with all that salt on there. There's something about their salted fries. I don't know what it is about their fries. And Sonic sometimes has some good salted fries. But I just want those salted fries and just crush them in there and feel the salt and potato squishing and a little grease. The grease makes it go down easier. And so you get a mixture of salt and potato and grease. And try that. Don't go to your cardiologist within a month of doing that. But But just enjoy the moment. Salt, what then? Flavors. And he said, you're the salt of the earth. Well, we're here to flavor the blasted place. We're here to make it taste good. You're here to make Jesus Christ, the church, taste good. And you can't do it hiding behind something or hiding behind your faults. Be open with them. People appreciate that. Wouldn't you like to see a politician actually stand up out there and say, good God, yes, I said that, and I'm sorry, I take the blame, I'm just human. Oh, we just go, let's elect that dude again. Wouldn't we? Instead of standing up and, well, I didn't know, or the devil made me do it. Basically, that's what you hear. Realism. You're the salt, you flavor. What else does salt do? It preserves. We're here to preserve the world from falling apart. We're here to preserve Jesus' church. We're here to keep this whole thing on track, preserve His word, His will, His vision. There's something else salt does. You remember what it is? Salt draws out toxins and poisons. I got a splinter in my finger and it went pretty deep. And I couldn't get it out. I got to dig in there with the needle, you know, and got the top part. I couldn't get it out. And my whole finger, you know, it got so sore. So I opened that little place up and I made a paste of salt and water and pushed that salt on there and then taped it. I left it on for 3 days, and when I pulled the tape off of the little bandage in there, out came that splinter and all the toxin in there, and I just sit there and let it drain, and the splinter was attached. It drew it out from all the way down in there. Salt draws. We used to use that when we were growing up because you couldn't go to the doctor. Nobody could afford to go to the doctor. So you got something stuck in you, mesquite thorn, and you put salt in there and packed it down and wrapped it. And that's old-fashioned, but it worked. And I still do it. And you just pull it out, and there comes the whole thing. And it takes out all the corruption and everything. And and go right on. Listen, that's what we're here to do. We need to draw out the toxins, the poisons in our society. And we need to keep it drawn out of the church, right? That's what salt does. I do a lot of things. Some of you would go, oh, but it's old medicines, things. I use plants, different things, and they work. You don't have to always take everything on the inside for it to work. You gargle with it, don't you? Why? Because it draws out whatever's in your throat. It takes that inflammation out. Salt heals. And you say, that's what I want you to do. I want you to heal the world. Get out here and heal broken people. Heal people that are inflamed with the corruption of society. Be healers. And let's close. You're the light. You're chosen to be the light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. What does he say? One of those famous little verses. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And we close with these words on this. You're chosen to be special. You're chosen for good works. You're chosen to make a difference. You're chosen to be salt, and go out of here knowing that you're chosen to be light, because it's a very dark world and getting darker out there, all around us. And you're chosen to be the light, and maybe probably the only light some people will ever see. You're not to hide your Christianity. You're not to hide your faith. Don't hide your love. your mercy, your forgiveness, but let it shine. Let it shine when you forgive people and others look at you and say, how could you possibly let that go? Then revert back to last week and remember David when the guy was yelling curses and he said, you know, there's sin in my life. God's let him do it. Why should I take offense? There's always probably at least a little truth in the things people are whispering and rumoring about. It may not be all truth, but a little. Don't hide. Let it shine. And friends, don't hide your humanity, but rejoice in it that Jesus Christ has saved a very human person. Let the love of Jesus come out of you and shine through you. Let the goodness of Christ, Christ's good works, all that Jesus stands for, let it shine through you. Get out there and be real. And if somebody wants to say, well, I heard you cuss the other day. You did. I know I did. And I didn't like it, and God didn't. You know, I had to confess to him and say, I'm sorry. That made me feel so bad, and I'm sorry that you had to hear that. What does that do to people? They met a real human being, but more than that, a real Christian who's real salt and real light. And it just brightens up their world to see somebody like that. Now, Father, we thank you for your word and the encouragement of it, for the strength and power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiving us, helping us. God, forgive and cleanse us every day. We need it. And help us to go out of here and not be so dadgum upset. And just to open up and let you use us where we are, the way we are. And to bring honor and glory to your name. Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all for being here this morning.